Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are a great God, and yet who is man that thou art mindful of him, and yet were enough to die for. So God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Jesus, thanks for being willing to come. And thanks for putting the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who have trusted you as their Savior, as a deposit, as a down payment, until we can one day see you face to face, and then our faith will become sight. Jesus, if there be anybody here that doesn't know you, the gospel is so simple, but yet some people reject it. They just don't quite want to give in to you. So Lord, today may you break the heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh, and may you speak to hearts, and Jesus, draw people to you. May I not get in the way of what you want to tell people, but instead help us to see that there's nothing like knowing you. So thank you, Jesus, and we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen.
All right, the message comes from God's Word, and if you need God's Word, we can put a copy of the Bible in your hand. We do ask you that you give it back. I got Bibles in there I can give you if you need one. We just keep these as what we call pew Bibles. And you can follow along with the message today. We've all heard this phrase, probably, for such a time as this. And some of us don't even know where that comes from. Others say, I think I got an idea. It comes from a book in the Bible, and you are correct. I thought I'd just clue in on that word of time. We just sang a song that says, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. That means before creation, God was. Don't ask me to explain that. God has no ending and has no beginning, has no ending. He's always been. For such a time as this. I don't try to understand it, I just accept it. You ever watch one of those police shows and somebody says, how come you didn't tell me what we're doing? They said, you're on a need to know basis, right? No, God's going to tell me a lot of things when I get to heaven. Right now, he's told me enough. Amen?
Amen.
What has he told you? Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit being the kids in the car that say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'll let you know when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there. Just be still. Okay, yes, sir. For such a time as this. I'm going to give you hopefully a practical message from a certain book in the Bible. Anybody ever heard of perilous times?
Mm-hmm.
Perilous. They say we're in perilous times. We're in trying times.
Mm-hmm.
How about this, the end of time? Everybody's mm-hmm. heard that time. How about this, daylight savings time? When's that coming up?
3 weeks.
I guess 3 weeks we fall back. I've been practicing it all year. I've been showing up a little hour late to work, Paul, since school started, so I'll finally be on time. The right time. This is the right time. How about the New York Times? I'll just do that in there to be funny. Mark gave me this idea. Mark, you didn't know. This is a bird. You ever heard of birds? Do everything, turn, turn, turn. In 1965, the same year Tim graduated from high school, and been that long, Tim? Well, 112 years ago. Anyway, 1965, the Birds come out with a song, and they, this is a rock group, yeah, we're going to pick on them. You really want to pick on the Birds? No, they sang a song straight out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the songs on their album right here was, oh, Susanna, oh, don't you? That's a real rock song, isn't it? I think Stephen Foster wrote that, wasn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. Oh, Susanna?
Yeah, they were real hardcore.
No, they were that genre of the folksy kind of stuff and just coming out. But they had some people that helped them out. Some guy named Bob Dylan, I think, wrote turns. Yeah, but they got the idea that time waits for no man. Look at another song on this. You don't care about time. They must have just been thinking of some different kind of things. So what did Chris, what did you do over there? Chris!
Sorry.
Good thing I got somebody blowing. This is me on a B-22 Osprey. Okay, that is actually the helicopter. Chris was good. I blame Chris because he's the only one over there.
I blame somebody.
Yeah. How's that? That's Ecclesiastes 3. A time for everything is the title of that scripture. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to tear down, time to build up, and time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, a time to scatter stones, time to gather, time to embrace and time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend and a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So they sang this song, and it was almost like an instant hit. It was really not, it came out about the year before, but nobody noticed it until these guys did it, and suddenly it was almost like a mantra there for the Vietnam War era and everything else. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, can you notice a reoccurring word in that passage of scripture? Time. So what about this time? Well, let's turn to the book of Esther. It's in the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all the you can go through the find Esther for you. Y'all take the books of the Bible from me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers,
Deuteronomy,
Joshua, Judges, Ruth,
First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles,
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So find the guy that built the wall. That's Nehemiah, and Esther's pretty close to that. Chapter 1. Queen Vashti gets a pink slip. Job, what's getting a pink slip mean?
You're fired.
Vashti's fired. I had a friend. His name was Steve Pegger, and we were best friends in high school. He worked for Ridenhour Music in Salem. And I think I've related this before. Picture the state of Virginia right here. There it goes. And Salem is about right there. And I came up to visit, and Steve said, I'm going to work one day. He said, you want to ride with me and deliver this piano? I said, sure. So I met him, and he said, okay, we'll take this piano. I said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. We'll find it on the way there. And I said, okay. I can still remember we went clear out and got on Towers, jumped on 581, then hit 81, and we just started traveling. Next thing I know, we were past, we were probably like to Winchester or something, you know, heading up through there. And then we finally got to there. Men, we know where we're going. I said, no, Steve, even stubborn men got to ask. We finally pulled into a service station. The guy spread the map out, and he said, well, right here's where you are. We're almost into Winchester, somewhere around, you know, not the valley. And he says, right here's where you want to be. And he said, you ever heard of Salem?
Oh.
He said, where you want to go is not too far from Salem. It's a place called Benton.
Oh.
Hey. I looked at Steve like, I gave him that look like, what a moron. I mean, golly, we're 3.5 hours, about another hour, and we'd be in D.C. and we're looking for Ben. So he jumped back in there, and we just flew down Interstate about 85, and I can remember that piano in the back. This, I know it was out of tune. We took the church out in Mount Pleasant, unloaded it there and put it in, and he came back to work, and guess what he found?
Pink slip.
They left him a note in his box with a pink slip. We won't be needing you anymore.
Oh.
You can't, took you 4.5 hours to get to Benton. We could have pushed the piano there without the use of the truck. And they didn't like that too well. Steve found him another job. You know. It's okay. There's a beauty contest in chapter 2. Esther wins on the spoiler alert. Chapter 3, trouble's brewing for Mordecai, just like coffee. Chapter 4, for such a time as this. And we're going to work our way over to that. I'll give you this album again. The Birds put out that album. There was about, I think, 10 songs on it. Might have been 11. Mark, you remember? Usually there's 10 or 12 songs on an album. This is when they put the title up there, Turn, Turn, Turn. That means that's the title cut off that album. It's just one of the 10 songs, but that happens to be the title cut. Well, if Esther was an album, I'll show you. Second album by the folk rock band The Birds was released in 65 by Columbia Records, like its predecessor, Hey Tambourine. The album epitomized the folk rock genre and continued the band's successful mix of vocal harmony and jaggly 12-string Rickenbacker guitar. So out of those songs, one of them made the title cut. Well, if Esther was an album with 10 songs, chapter 4 would be the title cut. That's the one you say, for such a time it is. That almost describes the whole book. Now, how many chapters in this one? It's 10 songs like on the album. So here's the Esther album with 10 songs. title cut's coming out for such a time as this. It wouldn't be fair not to listen to some of the other songs, so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start off with chapter 1. Listen to the first song on this. Let's turn to the book of Esther. Throughout the book of Esther, we're going to see God's timing is perfect. He is going to work some things that you say, this could only be God. Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. I'm going to do something. I hope you don't mind me doing this. We planted a church about 10 years ago. I don't know that I've ever done this. So I thought, can I just, Lord? I even had a message figured out. He said, no, I don't want that. And I went, I've already got slides in. He said, no, don't do that. You scrap that. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, that's what you preach it. I said, okay. So he brought this to mind. I'm going to go through the book of Esther for the next few weeks. And not necessarily a verse by verse, but if you ever done that and studied the book, that's what I want to do. I don't think I've ever done that. And so I don't have a ton of slides. It's okay. We're going to go through this. I can. I won't have to give you every little word, but on the same hand, you might say, so what are you doing to accomplish this? Well, first of all, I want you to know God's in this time that we're in, this perilous time, this dangerous time. Some times are great. Getting married, that sounds like a wonderful time. Going to work tomorrow for me? I don't mind. So sometimes we have a tough day. Other days are enjoyable. Esther is sort of filled with drama. I saw somebody's little meme on Facebook one day. It said something like, life is drama, but you don't have to star in it every day. Something like that, and I think maybe into that. Esther's filled with some surprises. But Esther's filled with God's thought that, I got this. Everything's going to work out. It's going to be in perfect time. He is going to surprise you with a couple things. We've got to set the tone. So as we go through, I hope that you'll, whether you're taking notes, whether you jot down something that later says, you know what? So I'm teaching you how to study the Bible right here. So if you don't know, pick a book and you say, I just don't know where to start. We're going to start with Esther. If you've never read the Bible too much, let's do this. Esther chapter 1, verse 1. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, that's the capital. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials, military leaders of Persia, and remember the Persians and the Medes were going to, remember the handwriting on the wall in Belshazzar? Yeah, these, the princes and nobles and provinces were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. We're just going to make some interesting notes as we go along. First of all, is this guy proud or haughty? Tell me what you think. Is he stuck on himself? He gave a 6-month party just to show off. What do you think? He's the kid, and when you go in, and, Tim, I don't know if Tim will probably remember, there's a guy we knew, Timmy Farley, when we grew up. Timmy Farley lived up there close to OEN Church of the Brethren. We went up there to Timmy's house, and Timmy was an only child. I mean, our son Andy is too, but Andy Sherwood. We walked up to Timmy's house one day, and, you know, Tim and I are the kind of people, we got to put the sprocket chain back on the bike and put it together with a paper clip to make sure it stays on. Yeah. We go up to Timmy's house, and it's like, well, y'all any toys? Went into a garage. Went, we were up to knee-deep in toys all over a whole floor. I'm thinking, okay. But Timmy didn't show off. He did later on. My first car was a Studebaker. I bought it from Tim. $60 a month. Guess what Timmy Farley's first car was? Pantera. Pantera cost a little bit more than a Studebaker. That's what Mark drives the Jeep. You get a Lamborghini. Timmy didn't really show off, but have you ever been around people? Let me show you this. Let me show you that. This guy's just showing up for 6 months. And when these days were over, the king gave a banquet. It lasted a week. No coffee, don't ask for hand. That lasted a week. In the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa, the garden had hangings of white and blue linen. It's fancy stuff, by the way. Fastened with cords of white linen and purple material with silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver. Nothing from the second helpings for him. I mean, look at this. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement. Mosaic pavement, think of that. A perfect marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. You say, by the way, I think of that and laugh. Now, I don't know, is anything grabbing your attention? See, I just, when I study the Bible, this is what I do. I read it, and whatever jumps out at me, it just grabs my attention. I think, well, that's cool. I'll make a little note of it. That's, you can study it the way you want to, but what I think of right here, when I was growing up in Giles, we had silverware sets, and none of the silverware matched hardly. You know why? We had one from the U.S. I remember U.S. Navy. I think we got that from Uncle Alt. Here's one. Here's a spoon we got in a box of detergent. Y'all remember when dishes came in detergent? You open up Dove's, you get a cup and a saucer out of it. I mean, and then we'd have peanut butter jar. You don't ever throw that away. You wash it out, and we drink out of that peanut butter jar. You know, boy, Eddie, you must have been poor. I was great. Had a great family. I loved it. Ask him. We grew up. I loved it. We drank out. Flintstone's great jelly jar. I get that. You know, we got a drink out of that. So we all had different jars. I wouldn't call us poor for a sake of example here. And none of our things match because they came from different things. But now, if you have a custom home, does your home match mine? No. I live in a house that matches about half the other houses on our street. So that means it's cheaper. But if you have a custom home, it's one of a kind. That's why his goblets never match. Everything's probably handcrafted. This man's got some money. You know, where's he live? Where he wants to, I guess. Each goblet was different. Why was certain goblets of gold each one different from the other? Wine was certain goblets of gold each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant. In keeping with the king's liberality, king's command, each guest was allowed to drink his own way. For the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. So she's sort of given little dinner time for the ladies, and king's over here showing off. I can sort of surmise or summarize these last few verses. It comes time for the king to show off, so now what is he, you know, behind every good man is a what? A great woman, as they say. It comes time he's showing off everything, so it comes time to show off his wife, or the queen. So he says, Esther, get over here. Mark, is that the way you do, Sharon? Remember that time your arm was in a sling for 2 weeks? Yeah, that's when Mark went like his. No, he didn't. Harry does not say, Trish, he's over here. Excuse me? Would you please come over here? Yeah, that's more like it. This guy says, hey, need you over here. He says, no. What? Who did that just embarrass him in front of?
Everybody.
You don't tell me no. What did I just mean? Red-faced? Embarrassed? But this guy's he's probably calm. He takes things. I can say he's stuck on himself. He should have done that. What's he probably want to do? What thought crosses his mind?
You know, teach her a lesson.
Yeah. We don't have this problem anymore. Ooh. Sort of hard to say no if you did. He didn't say that. You got to teach her a lesson. Honey? So he calls together his little cronies there. When she said no to him, you say, well, maybe he's not that bad. Read verse 11. Only reason he's bringing her in, he's going to bring in Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. He's got a hot wife for the queen, and he just wants to show up. He doesn't care about her.
Mm-hmm.
She makes him look good. When she says noble, when the attendants delivered the noble king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the laws and were closest to the king. So he asked all these guys, they said, what do you think I ought to do? According to the law, what must be done, Queen Vashti asked? She has not obeyed the command of the king. What do we do with her? He says, is the king really that bad? He had a scepter in his hand, by the way. And if you ever approached him and didn't have an appointment, he could extend the scepter. You touch it, he welcomes you in. If he doesn't, they kill you. How'd you like that? I'm here to talk to the boss. Do you have an appointment? No, I didn't. Carry him out. He doesn't even want to be bothered. He is. He's stuck on himself. It seems like he is. He's pretty private. So what are we going to do with Queen Vashti? She flat out told me no. What do we do with her? Then Memucan replied in the presence of the king and nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong. At that they probably went, really? not only against the king, but against all the nobles and the peoples of the provinces, kings overseas. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise her husbands and say, hey, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him. She wouldn't come. Before you know, we're just going to have revolt. All the women are going to go wild, and they're not going to obey their husbands, and we're going to have lots of trouble. So we got to make this a what?
Example.
An example. This very day, the Persian and the Median men of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Do you really think it's that bad? We're going to paint the picture if you don't do something about this. It'll be wild. Now, again, I've been a coach for many years of my life, and I do think you have to do that to a certain degree. I remember Steve Ragsdale in the first year, in 1980, we ended up winning the state 14-0 to beat Parkview Sterling. But anyway, the first part of the, they made it to the end, and the last game of the season really wasn't against anybody that big. So two people went to go hunting that day, and they skipped practice. Coach Ragsdale's rule, if you don't practice on Thursday, that's what it was, you don't play on Friday. Well, these two people went to go hunting were his captains. So, I think it was Mike Ratliff, I mean, we call him Bo, Mike Ratliff and Charlie Mullins. So what do you do with these guys? Mark, we don't correct these, we're going to be, let's sit. So he calls them up and says, guys, practice was 3 hours ago. Y'all going to practice or not? They said, practice ended, sit. He said, not for you all. I'll meet you at the field at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
8 o'clock on a Thursday night, two people are out there on the field. What are you going to do with it? He later would laugh when he was telling me, but he said, I made him do everything that we'd just done for about 2 hours. So one was on that side, this one over here is leading exercise, and he's doing jumping jacks, basically the only person on the field. Running sprints with him, he said they hit each other, and they went through the same practice that the others had done for 2 hours. And at 10:30, he said, I guess y'all better get home. You know what, how many times did they skip practice after that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy, he's going to practice to midnight. I will if you skip. Of course, he had a thought behind that. You know why he made him practice?
Because he wanted to win the game.
I mean, my captain's on the field tomorrow. So, we got to set an example or we're going to be out of control. That's what he did. That's what he does. And it's like, okay, therefore it pleased the king. Let him issue a royal decree. Verse 19, let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repeated. That Vashti is never again to enter the presence of the king's. Also let the king give her royal position to someone else who's better than she. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all the vast realm, all the people, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. The kings and the nobles were pleased with this advice, so the king did as Imogen proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, to each people in its own language, proclaiming in each person's tongue that every man should be ruler over the household. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians that the men, we are the head of the household. Jenny is not below me, she's not above me, she's my equal. We're good. We're a team. So guess what? What would be a good way? Now we've got to conduct interviews to replace this one. I think the women of today would have a heyday with this. You would probably think, so ladies, I apologize that this man is now going to conduct, he doesn't conduct interviews. He has a beauty contest.
Beauty contest.
Wonder why.
That's what he cared
about.
You
gotta have a trophy wife.
You gotta have a good looking, yeah, trophy wife. I gotta have a good looking babe beside me. So he has, later when the anger of the king had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed about her. Maybe he felt bad. He's like, well, I wish I had her back. Too late now. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, hey, let a search be made for a beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all the beautiful girls to the harem of the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Haggai, the king eunuch who is in charge of the women, and let beauty treatments be given to them. They're already beautiful, but I guess he's going to make sure. Then let the king, let the girl who pleases the king be queen of Sidavash. Vice appealed to the king, he followed it. They nailed up posters all around town. Beauty contest. Now there was in the citadel of Susa, a Jew, now we get to the plot thickens right here. A Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jared. Now you're going to like this guy because let's get a description of him. And see, this is where I make little notes in mine. Because I see myself in scriptures. here's Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimeah, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Among those taken captive was Jehoiachin, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hattush, whom he brought up because she had neither a father or mother. Stop right there. So you're sort of like the uncle to Esther. Why do you like Mordecai right off? This girl's parents have died, so what do you do?
Takes care of him.
He adopts him. I like him. He can easily do that. Not my problem. So I'm going to raise Esther. He looks at Esther like, I've even got this way. Tori, my cat, Tori's buried in the front yard now. I'd cry. I couldn't dig a grave for Tori. I had to have my son Andy come over and say, Andy, you got to dig a grave. I can't let him go. Because Tori would sleep on my shoulder, and I'd walk him on a leash, and he'd crawl over here when I'd be sick. He'd sit right there. You okay? I'm going to stay here until you feel better. You ever have an animal like that? It just breaks your heart. I can't let him go. Well, you multiply that thousandfold, and you've got Mordecai that takes Esther and says, I'm going to keep you under my wing. You're mine. You're my family. I'm going to take care of you. She had neither father nor mother. So this girl, also known as Esther, was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother had died. That's touching. So when the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who was in charge of the harem. Now, I get this, I'm reading this as all these other people are from Richmond and Lynchburg, and you know, they're the big city, Norfolk. Esther's from Giles County. Esther, you're old country hick, why are you here? Guess who prompted her to go? Esther, honey, come here. If that, they're going to have a beauty. Oh, yeah, you can. For such a time as this, I'm going to send you. I got confidence in you. Gives her a big hug, but don't forget us. I won't. Okay. Sort of like going off to college. All right, then, if you think I can. So Esther goes in, she probably feels out of place. All these fancy people with everything. So she goes in, verse 9, the girl pleased him and won his favor, and immediately he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her in her hand and her maids into the best place in the harem. She obeyed that. Esther had not revealed her nationality, didn't tell anybody she was a Jew, and her family background, because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Honey, I want you to go in. Yes, sir. I want you to win them over. You know, Esther, you know who I want you to be like? You be yourself. Because everybody loves you. They probably tearfully say so long as she takes off. Don't tell anybody who's real. Got to pick a special time for that. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Why is he walking back and forth?
Because he's not allowed inside.
Yeah, he can't go in. He's Jew. But anyway. Is he worried? I took Indian to give blood one time, or they took blood from me for a tip. I was out there walking back and forth. I thought, can I go in there and just sit down? He's a little kid. I said, can I just hold him? Nope, you're not allowed in here. I'm going back and forth. I thought, Indian's going to pass out. Indian does not like blood, especially his home. And I looked in, they opened up the door one time and had drawn some blood out. Indian was against the wall like this. They took it out and he went, just sitting right down the wall. I thought, can I get in there? Nope. I don't like that. Don't you want to go and check on your loved ones? Yeah, Esther. He's in there. How's Esther going? Mordecai's pacing back and forth. He's a worried daddy. Every day, walk back and forth. What's things going on? What's things? Verse 12, before girls turned to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments. All y'all ladies, got good news, bad news. You've been picked. We want you to have a year's worth of cosmetics applied. We'll get to trial, and y'all just go right in there, and we're going to put all this stuff on you. 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go into the king. Anything she wanted was given to her to take from her in the harem of the king's palace. If that's a blank check, what would some people take? Everything. And all these guys, these girls says, I might not be picked, but that color TV is mine. And you know, I'm picking that car and this bed. And when I leave this place, it'll look like an apartment in the lease. I mean, I am taking it on. Guess what Esther said? Must keep reading the show. Anything she wanted was given to her. Anything she wanted was given to her to take from the Herod to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go down there, and in the morning, return to another part of the Herod in the care of Shazgaz, looks like, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubine. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned by her name. These are traps and auditions. Did you make the cut? How nervous do you think you're Mordecai?
Mm-hmm.
You might ever try out for anything, tell the truth. When you go up there and read your name on the wall or meet with the coach, isn't that sort of, did I get the job? Well, we appreciate everyone trying. I didn't get it. Watch this, verse 15. When the turn came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted the daughter of his uncle Abihail to go to the king, she asked for nothing. Why are you impressed with her? She wasn't greedy. Esther, you can have anything you want. I don't really need anything. Thank you. Well, not only am I impressed, Esther sort of gave the idea too. What else? I don't need 12 months of being driven. Gorgeous, isn't it? No, she's pretty. You didn't take advantage of it. She asked for nothing other than what the guy of the king's eunuch who was in charge of Herod suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. If this is a beauty contest, what title did she just win? Miss Congeniality. After, this is a little humble girl who thought she wouldn't amount to new much. She was taken to King Xerxes' royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen. This would be like, I don't know if you know, I think it was in like 1972. Out of Miss America, she was from Virginia. And out of Virginia, she was Kylie Barker from little old Pulaski. You're Miss America from Pulaski. Wow, this is sort of like the same thing. So you set a royal crown and said, you're the one. King gave a great banquet. Oh, here he is again. Esther's banquet for all the nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday through the provinces and distributed gifts for royal liberality. He's giving it away. Verse 19, when the virgins were assembled the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. He's so lame. But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai told her to do. She's obedient to her dad, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. You missed this. Go back. You got to read that real carefully. She continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get from that?
You banged her parents.
She still does. So if I become the president of 3M and go back and I'd talk to Irene Moser, I'd say, Mom, I'm still your little boy. I'll go out and dig the ditch. I'll do whatever you want to. And I've done that. So they go, oh, you're pretty good. Oh, I don't care. I could have more degrees than a thermometer. My mom is my mom. I went up there one time and she said, can you do something? And I make a pipe under the bathroom's leak, you know, and a double wide thing at that time because the post office in the front. And she said, can you crawl under there and get that? Yes, ma'am. To get under that, this thing's about a foot off the ground. I had to turn sideways. Oh. I always like to do this and go like this, scrub my face on the pipe. And I'm thinking, I don't know what's behind here in front of me, but I mean, a spider could crawl through. I couldn't even get my hands from the face. Spider come up and go, okay, have at it. Only thing I'm going to do is swallow you right now because I can't even move my hands. I'm like this. I'm just getting under this, getting my hands up. I cleared that first wall. I'm like, now I can move my hands up to here. And then I thought, anyway, I did the work, passed everything, spit back under there, come back out on the other side. Why did I do it? Because I'm my mama's boy. So I said, and I didn't have one on, but somebody said, hey, you got a suit on there, I guess it's going to get dirty. She's still a little girl. I love that. So I don't know what you're getting from this, but I want to be, you don't let success blow your head up. So finally, verse 21, during the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bichron and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the door, he became angry and conspired. This is a little side note, like in a TV show that catches you, another plot, you know, developing. They conspired to assassinate the king. But Mordecai, that's Esther's dad, found out about the plot, told Queen Esther, who in turn reported to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. There's a good girl again. She said, guess what I figured out? My dad told me to tell you something that I need to tell you to make sure he gets the credit. Well, why is that? Because they recorded things, and when the assassination plot right here, God just now planted a seed that's going to show up two chapters later. Who would get the credit later? Her dad. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were hanging on gallows, and all this was recorded in the book of the annals in the presence. All right, time to stop for the day. We're walking through the book of Esther. So, what have I figured out? Well, I know chapter 1, Queen Vashti gets a pink slip. And who replaces her? Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the book of Esther, we're going to see God's timing is perfect. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today I might not understand what you're doing in my life. You might be causing joy to cross my path. You might even be put in a trial. Jesus, whether I got cancer or whether I'm getting married or whether I get a new job or whether I have to leave the job, Lord, you're still the God on the throne. You're still in charge. And I can see myself in the story. I want to be to you like Esther was to Mordecai. I want to be found faithful. I'm still a little boy that grew up in Giles. Lord, we went through hills and valleys and lots of things that brought us to today. And for such a time as this, you will send 31 people to Life Point Church. They might never have the same crowd again. Some might be different. They might go someplace different next week. They might be gone. They might be fishing. They might be on their honeymoon. They might be sick. I don't know. But whatever it is, we've got to hear today, so God, you speak to them. Help us to see you in this story. Lord, the Jews were your special, chosen, called people. And you're going to take up for them. Jesus, just as today, Christian believers, we're yours. Nothing comes to us unless it's filtered through your hands. So, Lord, you are not surprised. So, when we count and trust in you, lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge you. So, just in a quiet moment, maybe as we close in prayer, Jesus, look forward to spending time with family and friends, and look forward to the things you have for us. Lord, more than anything, I look forward to just spending time with you and be still on this Lord's day. So Lord, quieten my heart, quieten all my friends' hearts right now. Help us to be right still and listen to the voice of God. You speak through the hand on the wall. You will speak through the famine. You will speak through a star at Bethlehem. You will speak through an illness. You did that with Hezekiah. You told him he was going to die, and he rolled and faced the wall and prayed. He said, God, have mercy. You ain't been in 15 years. Jesus, I don't know how you're speaking to people today, but somehow I pray that you'd grab all of our hearts and their attention and say, I'm going to do something. So with that, I'll encourage us to cheer on through with us yet. Thank you for the free gift of salvation, mercy, and grace. Thank you that you want to keep me close to you. Give me the desire to want to do it. Thank God for who He is. Take a moment to do that. Thank Jesus for what He's done. Let's ask Jesus to continue to do things in us, work through us. Lord, there will come a time when I won't have to say it again because I'll see you face to face. Until that time, we have to go on back to the routines of the day. Jesus, may we not forget you. If we forget you, may you not forget us. Forgive us of all our sins. Wash us whiter than snow. I love that picture. She cleanses. Fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit. These requests that we mentioned earlier, people need you to heal with cancer, to move in, to find relief from pain. Jesus, we're needy people, but you're a great one. Thanks for this time we've had with you, Jesus.
Amen.